Accession number 20475, Reel 2.
Mr. Goncharovsky, Reel 2.
Yes, you would jump into a block of flats, knock at whichever doors, and people would open the doors and keep you in the flat. So you could expect cooperation from any Pole when you couldn't expect cooperation from every Pole under Soviet Union. Even a Jew could expect cooperation if he knew who was talking to him or shouting at him. For instance, Jews from the city of Lvov very often moved out of Lvov to another city. And since I moved anyway to Warsaw, I still had some business to do in Lvov. And the firm I worked in Warsaw was importing timber. Timber went from Carpathian Mountains. So you had to go Warsaw, Lvov, and then Vorochta or somewhere. So my sister was still in Lvov. Therefore, once every 3 months, I used to go to Lvov by train, and then to the place where they were cutting the timber to buy the timber. And once I was traveling in the middle of night, the train was blown out, which was frequent occurrence because the partisans were doing that job. Normally they started with blowing the first wagon. So the Germans used to do it so that they go to the last wagon, or when they started blowing last wagons, they were picking another one. But there was a bit of shooting and finish. Half an hour later, somebody came on a bike, on a motorbike, a German, shouted that everybody to walk to the nearest station, 4 kilometers, they will send another train and take people out. So I walk. We come to this next station in the middle of the forest and waiting for a train to come to pick the passengers. And I walk on the platform and I see a friend of mine from the school, from Lvov, Jewish. So I walked next to him, I stopped, and I said, "Hey, Steve, what are you doing here?" So he said, "Traveling. Very, very safe way of doing it." He was going from Warsaw to Lvov one night, and from Lvov to Warsaw the second night. The days he was spending in parks and something like this, but at least he wasn't in a ghetto. And by going at night on a train, even if there was a control, the trains were packed. He would give just the documents, somebody would look at it. It's dark. Very safe way. Once I walk through the most important street in Warsaw, and I see a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, Jewish, from Lvov, walking in the street. And I shouted behind him. But I shouted with his nickname. he was called Marian Abend. But I shouted him with his nickname. And he stopped and turned around. Obviously collected, there must be somebody that knows him very well if he uses a nickname. So he stopped, he looked, he recognized me and waited until I caught him. I asked him if he needs something. No. What is he doing? How does he hide himself? He said, I'm working on roofs. There again, found himself a job that all the time he was on a block of flats repairing roofs. Nobody could know. Nobody was looking there. Even if they were catching Jews on the street, he was up there as a workman. And he had the Jewish chutzpah. You know what chutzpah is?
No.
If somebody becomes too sure of himself and he's a bit arrogant, that's what happened with him. He got himself a different job.
You mean overconfidence?
He went to work in a grocer, chain of groceries like Sainsbury's, which was called Meindl, which was only for Germans. I couldn't walk in there to buy. Only a German could walk because they have different Russian books. And he started working there as an assistant. He worked there as an assistant, and once a month we met. One day he brought me a lot of cigars. I said, I don't smoke cigars. He said, maybe your boss does. I said, yes, my boss does. Yeah, my boss was German and he does. So he said, give it to him, he'll appreciate. You'll go up. So I said, all right. Then he gave me some butter or something else. Then one day I find that he's moved from there. He becomes a manager of Meinl's shop, which is in the center of the Jewish district, of the Gestapo district. I visited him twice or three times in that shop. The girls that worked there on the counter, they knew me. One day I came in, I opened the door, look in, and the girl at the counter looked at me, white, like a sheet white. And with her eyes, I knew I got to make myself scarce. So I withdrew from the doors, went round the block, and waited behind. In a minute, she came round and said, what happened? They shot him outside the shop. I said, what do you mean? In Warsaw, there was a tram which carried a number zero. Zero was only for Germans. You couldn't ride in that. But it was handy for this shop of his and from the place he was taking. You know what sauerkraut is?
Yes.
Yeah. He went to get some sauerkraut for his shop, and he took two workmen, and they went to this store, took a barrel of sauerkraut, and with the two workers, he went to the front platform of the tram number zero, and they rode to the whole city. And as he was getting out of the bus, of that tram, two or three S-men, which were sitting inside, got out with them. And one of them said to him, Du bist ein Jew. I knew that. And he said, no, I worked here in the shop as a manager. Take your trousers down. Shot him there and then.
So how did you come to get from Lviv to leave Lvov in the area?
From where?
From Lvov. How did you leave Lvov?
Well, I worked in Warsaw.
Was it easy to travel from Lvov to Warsaw?
No, it wasn't easy, my boss, the German boss, had transport for moving the timber. He also had an Audi for himself. And since he also liked to visit the woods where we bought the trees, he was sometimes in Lvov. Then we had branch office in Lvov. We had branch office in Grodno. And sometimes I went with him because I became an expert on timber, which is good, which is not good. So it wasn't that difficult. The difficulty arose as the Russian front was slowly getting nearer and nearer, right, to Poland. And then we had an uprising in Warsaw. You heard about it. It lasted 63 days, or 67 days, depends which place you were in. It cost us, I don't know, 40,000 dead soldiers, probably 200,000 civilians.
Can you take me through the Warsaw Rising from your own point of view? What happened to you, please, in detail?
Yes, I can. I was head of a platoon, which consisted of three sections of seven people in each. And I must say that I had them trained quite well, usually at night, usually outside Warsaw. We had at least once a month training. And we had a fair amount of arms. The only problem was that we are trained for a different job that we eventually had to do. Because our regiment, the whole of the regiment, was a regiment which was to be of the defense of the headquarters of the uprising. But in the last moment, they switched the place where the headquarters became, and we got to do a different job, a different district, which meant that the places that we were to attack have not been well
recognized.
In fact, I only knew the objective of my attack by knowing the plan of the city. Whereabouts is it? And what sort of building it will be? But I've never been that building before. And it meant that possibly there could have been, if we knew it, then we would have made much better progress. But anyway, I think I was notified of the actual action at about 10 o'clock in the morning in my office in the center of the city. I had sections already living together, three in three different places. So I managed to be at all three places to alarm them that they have to be at 4 o'clock, where the whole platoon meets three trees, which all nine sections will be. I also had enough time to falsify the document allowing my office to collect 14 liters of vodka from a state monopoly, and I went with my driver and collected 114 liters of vodka. I thought, this is always a good thing to have. And I took all that vodka into that place where we all were to meet at 4 o'clock. This was a villa, like one of those, of our commanding officer. And there we put all those bottles on the window ledges inside. We stored them. We had arms brought. The only thing we didn't bring are the flamethrowers, which were our own manufacture. But they were the other side. They were hidden the other side of Vistula, and it was too dangerous to try to get them across the bridges. So we had to leave them. If we had more time, if we had notification 2 days earlier, we would probably get them by boat or something like it. But as it was, we would have to bring them by road, and it wasn't possible because both bridges were with Germans checking. But whatever we did get. We started at 5 o'clock because that was the hours to start. Run to the objectives. We should have attacked it from across the road. You see, if they give you this house as an objective to grab, then what you should do is to walk here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon quietly to this house, put your fellows here, and even hijack the flat, right, with the people, and then just jump the road. But if you run for half a mile, then everybody knows. And they, of course, barricaded the doors, whatever Germans there were, because this was acting as it was a big school, which had, they had a, what do you call it, where you keep the soldiers?
Barracks?
Yeah, they made barracks out of it. And there was at the gate, there were two bunkers, and the bunkers had machine guns in it. So they've beaten us. We've lost probably 12 or 13 men there, and we haven't even started at the building. And at night, they brought a couple of tanks. We destroyed one tank. But not having achieved our objective, by 2 o'clock at night, we got the order to retire a couple of streets down, which we did. By 4 o'clock in the morning, there was some conference, and I think in our particular part of Warsaw, only one objective was taken.
What was the name of your part?
Mokotów, which is south part of Warsaw. Mokotów. I think the regimental command decided to leave Warsaw and walk out into the forests which are south of Warsaw. And it fell on our company and on my platoon to lead it, which we did. And we did as far as Warsaw Racing Stadium, horse racing. There, which was a lot of Germans with long machine guns and armored weapons, we got surrounded. In fact, I lost, give or take, 50 men there. My total command was probably in the region of 70 people. By that evening, or that by that midnight, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 living, 5 alive, of which one was wounded so that he is blind even today. He's alive, but he's blind. One is famous because that's the man who did Concorde.
What is his name?
Przemieniecki. He's in America. He's a 3-star general, and he was a dean of American Air Force University at Dayton, Ohio. Now retired. Last time I saw him, 3 years ago, in Warsaw, he came with Al Gore, vice president. He was 4 years younger than I am, and I taught him in the evening for matriculation. And it was awful. Anyway, I was out of Warsaw Uprising for about 5 days. I tried to go over Vistula River because I knew that the Polish army with Soviets are coming, so that maybe I'll swim across. And being a good swimmer, I would have swum. But the whole of the shore of Vistula was barricaded by the Germans. You couldn't get there. And then one morning I saw that the Stukas, which is the aircraft which attacks
dive bombers.
Yeah, dive bomber. They were diving onto Mokotów. And I said, Christ, that means there is still some defense there if they are diving. So then I made my way back to Mokotów. And for the next 60 days, we were fighting until not many of us, but eventually we surrendered.
Can you describe the fighting? Can you describe what the fighting was like that you were in?
Well, the fighting was, some of it was not particularly interesting. Some of it was defense. As the Germans were moving the tanks, you had to go down, throw the bottles, kill the people that were going with the tanks. The tank wouldn't move by itself. It had to have always infantry around it. If you disposed of the infantry, the tank wouldn't go by itself because they were scared stiff. We attacked Brunnwerke, which eventually, Brunnwerke was, it was a factory. An ancient factory that was making all sorts of metal things. And it was occupied by Germans and used, I think they were making hand grenades in it. But we did attack it, and we stormed it. Fortunately, with practically no losses. In some cases, there was a police station which was very strongly defended, and we lost a lot of men there. And also Wedel, if you ever knew chocolate factory, Wedel, well known before the war and still in existence. They had a huge house in Mokotów, I think 8 stories high, which was a lot for Warsaw. And there were several attempts to storm it. Nothing happened. because they had time to put mines all over around. And to take a mine and get it out without means of getting it out, it's very difficult.
Why was this factory so important to capture?
It wasn't. It was part of, you see, the Warsaw got divided during the uprising into parts which had no communication with one another. Out north, which is the old city, was one part. Then the center of Warsaw was another part. And Mokotów was a third part. The Jerez had corridors which somehow nobody could shut, which were going from east to west, because they used it to the bridges to put their troops the other side of the road where they were fighting, the other side of Vistula River, when they fought the Russians. Originally, it looked that the German armies were routed the other side of Vistula. But after a week, the Russian front died, and they were able to bring reinforcements. And that was also one reason of our undoing. So twice the command, the whole uprising command, got the idea that if we attacked from south and then they attacked from the center, that we might be able to connect and make it into one. Never happened. Eventually, they decided on evacuation of the southern part, Mokotów, to the central part through the sewers. And that was terrible. The trip in sewers from Mokotów to the center of the town would normally take 2 hours. If you knew the road, if you knew which sewers, and if there was peace and quiet. But of course, every time it went under the German occupied top, they would open the metal things.
Manholes,
and throw grenades there. And there was plenty of odd. It was terrible. We were with our group, we were defending the last manhole in Mokotów. And we were supposed to go down the hole when there is nobody about, which we did. And I was only 3/4 of an hour down there, because the Warsaw is high over the river, but there is the river here, but there is a bluff. And when all this, the sewers were full, a friend of mine walked in front of me, and suddenly I see he's not there. He fell in. Fortunately, I had a long gun, so I fished it, and he caught it. I got him out of shit, and slowly we back to the same place that we got in. And one by one we got out, and on top of the manhole, a tank stand, and Jerez, out, out, out.
Handcuffs?
No, 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 no.
time?
No. They were taking your watches, anything valuable you had on you, like a silver suit.